Here's the amazing thing. You can have a smiling face, but a heavy heart and a cluttered mind. But here's the thing. I declare that if you didn't sleep last night, you're going to sleep tonight. If you came in heavy, you're going to figure out life, because God's about to lighten your burden, and he is about to give you strategy on how to live. The scripture that I'm going to come from, it's in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. You can follow there with me. It's the New American Standard Version that I'll be reading from. Jesus talking to a group of people about salvation, about a relationship with God. And for many of us, the picture we have of God is somebody, we're not even artists, but if somebody gave you an easel and a paintbrush and some paint and said, paint your image of God, you picture God as this mean, unloving character who is waiting on you at the drop of a hat. Anybody ever seen the movie Pootie Tang? I know it's a weird question to ask. Anybody seen that movie? Raise your hand. I want to see who is weird. Sadate? Yeah. Here's the thing. Y'all remember his, if you never see, it's one of the craziest movies, it's just like weird humor. But y'all remember when Pootie Tang would get in trouble, like his daddy would be nowhere around, but a belt would just come out of nowhere. We picture God as this God who would just belt trigger happy, like just waiting to whip us, waiting to destroy us, waiting to tear our life apart. And here's the thing I love about God. He loves you and he wants to restore you. Don't even lift your hands on this, but if you've ever done anything that you knew was not right and you had that yucky feeling on the inside, like, ah, don't even lift your hand, just look straight ahead. And you ever wonder, like, is that feeling God leaving me? Can I tell you that feeling is not God leaving. It's actually God cleaning you up so he can stay. God doesn't want to leave you. He wants to stay with you. So Jesus was telling these guys about a relationship with him, that they were trying to follow the letter of the law, and it was so hard for them doing it on their own. And he said, hey, let me tell you about a relationship with me. And let me read the scripture to you here. He said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Somebody say amen. Amen. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he was talking about salvation in this scripture. But the thing that I want to correlate it with is not just salvation, but your everyday life. God wants you to know how to live. I want to shift you from overwhelm to the antonym, the opposite of overwhelm, which is this, encouraged and inspirited. Here's a big idea. When you're overwhelmed, you start taking things off your plate. But I want to challenge you today. Before you start taking things off your plate, I want to challenge you to learn how to master what's on your plate and watch life flow much smoother for you. Things may be hard, but we make things worse than what they have to be because we don't know what we're doing. Here's what I told God. I want my life to be as pretty as my praise. Because some of y'all got some beautiful praise. I saw y'all was just waving them fingers at God, spirit fingers at God, and we all worshiping, and oh, it looks so beautiful. I want my life to be that pretty. I want what I felt right here. I want to experience that every day of my life, and it happens when you learn how to live life, because here's the challenge. You can turn a God-given life responsibility into a prison sentence. Mothering turns from not being a joy in life to being a prison sentence. I got to go home and hear these kids call my name 10 times. I'm going to drive around the neighborhood 10 more times. So if for every time they're going to call my name, I'm going to take another lap around this neighborhood. Marriage can become a ball and a chain if you don't know how to do it. When you do it the right way, God said it's easy and it's light. The easiest way to turn a blessing into a curse is not know what you're doing. God has blessed you with us with some great things. And competence in life will allow you to experience the blessing. Let me give you how to do this, all right? He said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. My first point to you is go to God. You know, it's very easy to develop unhealthy habits when you're overwhelmed. You can drink too much. You can go to weed becomes your best friend. You can go to unhealthy sources of affection, people that you would not normally connect with, but because they make you feel good in a moment, you can find yourself in compromising situations because you're overwhelmed. Think about your life right now. Think about the stuff you did when you were overwhelmed that many of us are still trying to get out of today. Many of our credit scores reflect stuff we did in a moment. Many of our hearts reflect scars that God has healed us. But there are moments that you would wish you would forgot, that you wish you would have ran to God instead of that joker that kept texting you. And he would text at the right moment when you were broken, at that vulnerable moment, because you let him keep knocking. You let him keep knocking. And he caught you at the right time, and you said, what's up? And that what's up led to much more. I want to encourage you in those moments, go to God, because I don't care how bad things are, and I don't care how guilty you feel. God is right there with his arms wide open, ready to rescue you. I don't care how you got in the situation, God can get you out of it. You all right? The next thing is this. After you go to God, you got to establish the right point of reference in your life. He said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Your yoke is your point of reference in life. Your point of reference is the thing that you judge and understand everything by. I was raised a Pentecostal, Church of God in Christ. Anybody raised Pentecostal in here? And when people would join our church, we'd sing, this is the Church of God in Christ. You cannot join in. You have to be born in. This is the church, watch out now, Keith, of God. And they had a little song with him. We singing. The people walk up, everybody hug them when they would come in. But then I found out that the world was bigger than the Church of God in Christ. And that everybody didn't jump and shout and speak in tongues like we did. There was a big world out there, and there's more to God than what I've seen. But I had curtailed God to what I experienced. And then I figured out once I got into a business world and met other people, some people could care less about church and how we did things. They wanted a real authentic experience with God and care about how we praise, how we worship. What can God do for me? And I had to broaden my perspective. I had to broaden because I used to listen. I went to school in Chattanooga, and I would listen to preachers. But here's what I would listen to. I'd fast forward to the hooping part. If you don't know what hooping is when the man would get on the organ and they'd say yes, and people would get to jump, yeah, all that kind of stuff like that. And that's all I listened to. And I didn't have a lick of substance in my life. But God had to expand my point of reference. Your yoke is what gives you direction in life. God's trying to expand you, and he wants a different yoke to direct you to a different place. The yoke is what they put on animals to guide them in the direction they want to go in. We all have a yoke that is directing us, but most of us are guided by an idea of success that we think is right, but in reality, is it really right? Is what directing you what God wants you to have in your life? God's yoke is easy, and his burden is light. When I lived in Philadelphia, I went to a church, and there was a young man who had the ministry of helps. The ministry of helps is this, is when a person can anticipate a need. It's a person who just sees what needs to be done. They're behind the scenes. They don't need recognition. They just help. They live to help people. And this man began to elevate in the church because the pastor saw he was the first one there, last one to leave. They sent him to a seminary class, and they brought him back, and they elevated him. The pastor started another campus and made him the campus pastor. One of the worst things that ever happened to that young man's life because he failed miserably. Because in the church world, you haven't arrived until you are a pastor, bishop, apostle, and all. Some people want to be all of them. And the same thing is about title and not function. He was already successful in helps, but they thought the reward for that was position. And when they put him in the wrong place, he began to fail miserably. Many of us have the wrong idea of success. Thus, you're wearing stuff that is not made for you, that is not curtailed for you, and you're struggling under the pressure, and you want to get out from under it because you haven't discovered what success is. Success for you may not be success for me. I got to figure out what is the point of reference that God wants to see happen in my life. So Jesus said, take my yoke, my point of reference for your life, and learn. The next thing he said is this. He said, I want you to learn of me. You got to learn how to live. When you learn how to live, you'll learn this important equation. Overwhelmed does not mean overloaded. When many of us are overwhelmed, you start taking stuff. I'm too busy. I got to take this off. Maybe it's not that you're too busy. Maybe you're too unorganized. Maybe your brain is not caught up to the level of responsibility that God wants you on. And maybe you need to educate yourself. Maybe you need to take a class. Maybe the pressure that's on you is not a bad thing, because what many of us are running from is not responsibility. It's pressure. And God wants to teach you how to deal with pressure so that you are not overwhelmed. He said, learn of me. Learn. Overwhelmed people are people who need to learn some things from God. I'm going to give you three learning points if you're taking notes. The first thing is this. You got to unlearn. Many of us take advice from the wrong people. And we let people counsel us. And here's the reason why we take advice from the wrong people. Because we search out what's familiar versus what's competent. So you'll trust the person that you know versus somebody you don't who knows what they're talking about. So you'll take their advice and you'll end up exactly where they are. I'm not telling you anything wrong. We're taking advice from people who you're close to. But I don't care if they're close or far from you. Do they know what they're talking about? You got to take advice from the right thing, because I believe there are certain things that are hideous in this day and time are learned. I believe racism is learned. I think people teach people how to be prejudiced. I know racism and prejudice are two different things. I think people teach people how to lose. I think people teach people how to be victim in situations, and it's generational. You'll see one generation become a victim, and the next generation learns how to do it. I believe these things are taught. I was with this young man, and I took him and his son to the rental car place. And when I was in there, the father went to the counter. He said, "Can my son stay with you?" I said, "Obviously." And while I was sitting there, his son, I didn't realize it, but it was sticking his hands in my pocket, and he walked back up to me and said, "Here's your dollar." How a little five-year-old know how to pickpocket somebody? You don't just wake up being a kleptomaniac. He had to learn that from somewhere. Come on, just look straight ahead. Certain things are taught. That had to be modeled somewhere. I think you can model what it means to win to people. I think you can model that marriage is not perfect, life is not perfect, parenting is not perfect, but this is how you get through a storm. And you can teach some people, but there are some things you have to unlearn before you can go in the right direction. The next thing is this, you got to relearn some things. I took a physics class in college, and the first time I took physics 103, I made it a C because I needed it, but I needed an A. So I took it again. I walked in. Dr. Shantana Lane was my teacher. She said, "Hey, Jason, good to see you again." I said, "I need an A this time, Dr. Lane." She said, "Good. Forget everything you learned the first time." That don't make sense. I was going to build on what I learned the last time. She said, "Jason, if you learned it the last time, you wouldn't be here this time." Some of us are having to relearn stuff because we're taking an old method to a new situation here. And we keep repeating it. Is there anybody tired of visiting the same thing? You may break up with this person only to experience it again, leave that job only to experience it again. There are certain things you got to relearn the right way so I'm not constantly taking retakes in my life. There are certain places I never want to go back again. I don't ever want to go back to having $7.57 in the bank and you can't get but 10 out. That's a lonely feeling that ATM staring at you and you staring at it. Ain't nothing happening. No. I don't ever want to go back to that depressed place where it's a beautiful day outside and I can't experience it because I shut the blinds because I'm so overwhelmed from the dumb decisions that I made. I never want to go back to that place. When you learn things, you say, "God, I'll take this test again, but this time I'm going to pass it." Because depression may come, sorrow may come, stupid decisions may come, but I know how to overcome them now because I learned the lesson. And the next thing is, there's some things you got to learn for the first time. I don't care how old you are, you can always learn. I am an introvert by nature. This is the most extroverted you'll see me. If I'm not in this setting like this, I'm not talking a whole lot. So when we go in social settings, it can be a little awkward for me. And I probably asked Barbara one of the dumbest questions. I finally got the nerve to ask her that I'd ever ask her. We were going to an event. And I said, "Barbara, when you in places," now you didn't notice anything about Barbara. After church, man, she had about 15,000 people. There ain't that many people in here, but I don't know where they come from. They come up, talk to her. I can sit right here by myself, and 10 minutes later, I'm still sitting by myself. I said, "What do you be talking to people about?" And she said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yeah. Like, what do you talk to people about when you go in a social setting?" She said, "You ask them where they're from, what they do." I was taking notes in my head. And guess what I did that whole day? I asked them every question that she told me to ask them. And it worked. But I had to swallow my pride. No, it did. But I had to swallow my pride and admit, I don't know how to connect with people. Many of us are stuck because you don't admit what you don't know. So you fake it without learning. That is some things you can fake it until you make it, but make sure you make it. Some of you leave the making part off. No, for real. Like, ask questions. Like, how do you do this? You could be in worship, and they saying, "God is omnipotent." And you said, "I really don't know what that means, but I probably should know." And you're afraid to ask. I bet if you ask your neighbor, they don't know either. And they say, "I don't even know. Sound good." Ask questions. Omnipotent means all powerful. Omni, all, potent power. Ask questions. When you learn certain things, let me get where I'm going. It will move you forward, and you will not be as overwhelmed if you know what you're doing. The next thing is this, rest. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul." Rest is operating from a place of, if I can speak anything over your life right now, I want you to rest. You're too worried about stuff that are out of your control. I want you to rest in the place of peace and the confidence of God's word spoken over your life. This is the place where most of us struggle. Because our soul is not at rest. Your spirit knows what God's going to do. I used to love when the old folks used to say, "I got a feeling." that everything going to be all right. And boy, they go in because your spirit knows God is a healer. Your spirit knows God's going to bring me out. Your spirit knows God's going to provide for me. Your spirit knows. That's why you're praising God, because the devil don't even understand you, because he knows all the stuff going on in your life, and you got the nerve to lift your hands, clap your hands, and say, God, I bless you. And he's saying, bless him for what? Because your spirit knows that everything's going to be all right. And my spirit says, by his stripes I'm healed. My spirit says this, my God shall supply all my needs. My spirit says I got provision coming from the north, south, east, and west, because I got the vision of God in my life. But here's the struggle. My mind hasn't caught up with my spirit. My soul isn't resting. He said, I want you to find rest until your soul's rest. You ever had that experience where you know God's going to do something, but when you leave, you like me, you overthink stuff? Or your emotions kick in and say, you know it ain't going to work. Or your will, I want to try it this way. We spend this tug of war battle between our spirit and our mind. I've been in a place, God blessed me with a job I knew I was not, maybe I was qualified, but I wasn't confident enough for. And one of the things that we did, we went and presented plan reviews, where we presented a company's financial data and their medical data to the other company. And I remember my first one I went into, I said, God, you got to help me. One of the things that I hate in life, I hate to be embarrassed, and I hate to look stupid in front of people. So to avoid it, I would just avoid situations. And I said, God, I don't want to go in here. I know this data, but I may not know all their questions. I ran across this scripture in the Bible that says this. Psalms 25:3 says, no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. I said, you said that, God? I said, my hope is in you, and you will never allow me to be put to shame. I walked in there and stood on that scripture. And I got to a point, my cousin Kevin is an accountant, and their accountant, I presented my data to them. He said, one of your numbers is off from mine. The smartest guy in the room, who happened to be on my team, whispered in my ear and said, ask him about catastrophic claims. I wasn't really even sure what catastrophic claims were. I had to learn about it later, and I said, ask him about catastrophic. He said, ask him about catastrophic claims. I said, sir, does your data include catastrophic claims? He got up and left the room. 10 minutes later, he came back in smiling. He said, you're absolutely right. Here's the thing about God. You may not understand half the stuff he's telling you to do, but if you will trust him, your understanding will catch up with what he's telling you to do, because God will never allow you to be put to shame. So God is asking you for something, but your mind is trying to figure it out. Let me show you what it looks like. Barbara, can I have your wallet? Come on, come on. I need your wallet. Can I have your wallet? Barbara, can I have your wallet, please? We have this tug of war battle about budgets in our house and about all it. I just asked for her wallet. God never asks you for anything that he doesn't want to increase. I want to tell you that. God never asks you. It may seem like, okay, God, what do you, I'm not sure really where she's at. But God never asks you for anything that he doesn't want it. But that's what God does. He asks us and you act praise, then I'm not sure. Emotions, not sure. Try love again. Fool, you remember what happened last time. Try this again. Your mind is talking. And here she comes back, because in her mind she's wondering, what do you want? Are there any receipts in here? And there's no receipts, Barbara. I just want to upgrade you $50. Can I tell you the thing that you're running from that God's asking you to do is the very thing he wants to use to bless you? And you're running, and God said, if you would just say yes, I will change your life for the rest of your life. What is the yes that God wants from you? The very thing you're running from, the very thing you're scared of, is the very thing that God wants you to lift your hands and say, God, I don't understand it, but yes. Somebody open your mouth and say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. God's trying to upgrade you. God's trying to shift you. God's trying to take you to another place. But you're fighting in your mind. You're fighting in your will. You're fighting in your emotions. All that stuff is going to catch up later. Just know in your spirit, everything is going to be all right. Yeah, I'm through. If I was in shape, I'd keep on going right there, but I done ran out of air. I'll close with this. He said, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Oh, Lord. But here's the thing for real. Some of y'all felt that Pentecostal Baptist come out of you. Do me a favor. Just lean on your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know how it's going to work out. But I just want to let you know this. Your worst is over. And your best is yet to come. God's going to shift you to another place. Can I stop right there for a moment? Perhaps you've been overwhelmed in here. You haven't been sleeping, and you got a witness in your spirit. You don't know how it's going to work out, but God's going to handle it in your family. He's going to handle it financially. He's going to handle it on your job. Can I tell you something? You don't have to wait till the battle is over. I want you to praise God right now. That it's turning. Yes, it is. Yes, God. It's turning in my favor. All right. Y'all sit down. We got that out. All right. The last thing is this. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You got to make a decision. Do I want easy and light, or do I want dark and heavy? It's a simple decision. In order to understand this decision, does anybody know somebody with a strong cutoff game? That when they through, they through. I'm blocking you from my phone. I'm blocking you from social media. And don't act like you somebody else and try to friend me through another source. Because I got your number. We're through. Right? You done played that Fantasia anthem. If you don't want me, then don't talk to me. Go ahead and free yourself. Matter of fact, you ain't got to free yourself. I'll help you. I'm freeing myself. Because it's not you, it's me. You right? So that's when you make a decision. I'm not going back there. I'm taking the yoke of God because I'm tired of going through stupid stuff. I want to take what God says, even if I don't feel like it. His yoke says, what does God say? Forgive. No, I don't want to. I should block them out of my life. No, forgive. I don't feel like it. Take my yoke because my yoke has my answers. Then you got to learn what the promise says. The yoke is God's promise. You got to get it in your heart. You got to get it in your subconscious so it's an automatic part of your life. Let me show you how that works. When you get to a red light, what do you do? When you get to a green light, what do you do? When you get to a yellow light, what do you do? Speed up. If she is behind you and you are at a yellow light, don't stop. She is going to rear end you. Run the red light. Whatever you believe is what you're going to do. That's why I always win even when I'm failing. I don't believe I was designed to lose. I believe I'm a winner in my heart because I learned what God says about me. He said I'm the head and not the tail. He said I'm above only and not beneath. You don't have to believe it about me. I believe it about me. And because I believe it, I will not accept average. I will not accept mediocrity. I have learned what God says about me. Two things. And this is making a decision. Yoke is easy. Burden is light. Take the yoke. Learn what the yoke says. Learn what the promise says. Go in the direction of the promise. Do you know why many of us are losing? Because you're following your problem instead of the promise. We drove to Panama City Beach my senior year. Jamie's in the back. I don't know if Lincoln was here somewhere. We were all coming back, and everybody was asleep. I remember there was a storm, and I was driving, and I was tempted to go back because it was just so cloudy. But I just so happened to see the sun peeking on the other side of the storm. If I would have turned around, I'd have been chasing the storm instead of coming through the storm. Many of you have turned around, and you're chasing the storm now instead of going to the promise. And what God said, I need you to keep going in the direction of your promise and not your problem, and at the end, you're going to leave the results to God. I don't know how it's going to work out. Can I tell you something? I don't even know how I met you. In a normal setting, I would have never met you. God said, Christiana. And because we said yes, then you came. And God knows who's coming next. And God knows what we're going to come together and do. When you say yes to God, God will turn nowhere into somewhere because you're there. Stand to your feet. Perhaps you're in here today and I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. You are overwhelmed. Overwhelm is in different levels. Some of you would overwhelm you. Somebody else would just be lightweight to them. Your overwhelm may not be a depressing situation. You may have 500 employees that report to you, and you're overwhelmed on what direction to go in. We're dealing with all level of problems. Some of us got $10 problems. Some got 10 million problems. They're all problems. Don't compare where you are to anybody else. God wants to help you where you are. If you're in here today and you're overwhelmed, you have to make decisions. There are things that are on you. Before you downsize, know that may be the moment that God wants to upgrade you. But God wants to teach you some things about where you are. And in this moment, we're going to learn of God. We're going to leave here today and God's going to show you his strategy because you're going to make a decision. God, I'm going to take your yoke. I'm going to get it in my heart. And I'm going to go in the direction that you, of the promise and not the problem. And the results are going to come to you. Father, I thank you now for every person in this room. You have designed us and put us in the kingdom for this time. We're not just here to take up space, but we're here to do something demonstrative for you. And Father, whatever level we're on, give us wisdom on how to live, whether we're students, whether we are parents, or whether we've made the worst decision of our life and we have to rebound. Wherever we are, there's a strategy we can come to you. And in this moment, I want to challenge you. Many of you have never come to God. You don't know him as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to lead you through the sinner's prayer, and if it's the first time you said it, welcome to the kingdom of God. But if you can repeat after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. I admit I've sinned. I've done things that are not pleasing in your sight. I ask right now that you forgive me of all sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And God, give me the power to live by your word. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. Father, I thank you every person in this room. I pray over their life. They will not live overwhelmed, but we will overcome. We will know who we are and see great things in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Find five people and tell them this one word, rest. Rest.